You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Back to the Swamp 24/7 podcast. I'm Thomas Goldkamp here with Blake Alderman. It's been about a week since our last show, and there's been quite a bit of news around the Florida football program. Blake, let's start with the recruiting stuff. Florida has had three commitments, I believe, in the last week. Can you fill us in on some of these guys? I guess let's start with the defensive lineman, Andrew Savanea. Am I saying that right? That's a tough one. Tough one to say.
Yeah, at least I think so. He was a guy that is coming in as an edge guy. One of those edge defenders recruited by Patrick Toney, Mike Peterson, shortly after the arrival of Toney, whenever he was brought over as part of that initial, coaching staff that came over from ULL. Andrew was a guy that, Florida, Toney evaluated. They wanted to get him on campus, which they did this past weekend for an official visit to, weigh him, see his size. He's a guy that has played some D-line, is more of an edge guy, has also played some tight end on his tape. So they really wanted to get a chance to see his frame. I believe he checked in 6'3", 258 pounds. So he's more of an edge guy, kind of compact, where his weight is. I mean, he carries the weight pretty well. I mean, you look at him and you think like, man, this guy's really 258, but it's kind of, more in his legs. I mean, this guy has like legs like a tree trunk.
Yeah.
So he'll be an edge guy, committed after taking that official visit to Florida. Really loved the visit, his time there, time around the coaching staff. So, he's a guy that the Florida staff is actually pretty high on. They think that they've got a bit of a steal, with the amount of time left until National Signing Day, and a guy that was, left unsigned, uncommitted. So they really like that addition there with what they brought at him, bringing him over from the West Coast.
And Blake, that was obviously a spot where early in the offseason this year, after, Dan Mullen had been let go and, Billy Napier was trying to get established at Florida, was hiring a staff. Florida had a couple departures. Chris Bogle was a guy that left for Michigan State. And then Florida actually convinced a couple of those guys, Dante Zanders and Lloyd Summerall, to come back. So edge was obviously a need for Florida. I think another need that became clear after Kamori Gamble decided that he was going to transfer from the program was tight end. Not that Florida, doesn't have a couple bodies there, but it was a spot where they needed to take another one. Who did they add at tight end as far as commitments go?
Yeah, three-star Hayden Hansen. He's a guy out of the state of Texas. Was a former commit to ULL under Billy Napier. Once that coaching change took place, he backed off that, opened things back up. They've been talking to him. William Pegler, Florida's new tight ends coach, has been talking to him even whenever he was, it was announced he was going to Florida, but he was still finishing up the bowl game and the preparations there at Michigan State. So he had been talking to him, since then. Monday of last week, Napier, Pegler, off-field staffer Ryan O'Hara, they were in on this past Monday they were in for an in-home visit, really kind of, rekindled the flame, obviously being a former commit under Napier, those connections, knowing how Napier wants to use the tight end. He's a guy that, is 6'6", somewhere in the 250-pound range, if I remember off the top of my head, for his measurements. So he's got something that, a lot of these other guys on Florida's board or in their class, like a Toney Livingston, don't have. And that's that big frame, is more of a powerful blocking type guy, red zone type of guy, someone in that area where you can make those contested catches. So coming in there, being a guy that was close to Napier, that offer came. It was kind of a cool moment for him when he got the offer on Saturday of his official visit this past weekend. A part of the schedule on Saturday is you tour the swamp, you see a video presentation, you can take your pictures, walk around the swamp. And then they have dinner in the Champions Club overlooking the field that Saturday night. But it was a cool moment for him getting the offer. He said that Napier offered him on the 50-yard line on the Gatorhead on Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. So cool moment for him. Those ties to ULL that he had built, he trusts a lot of the staff. He was glad that Napier trusted him and his abilities. to play at a place like Florida. So Florida being his best offer, you know, those connections to the staff, you know, that was one that was wrapped up a couple hours after he finished up that official visit this past weekend.
Yeah, you mentioned Savanea, you know, being a guy that had a lot of lower body strength. I think, you know, anybody that saw the pictures that came off of Hansen's official visit when, he, you know, Napier and all them visited, that dude's got some quads, man. He's got some lower body strength.
The Swamp 24/7 board, they nicknamed him Quadzilla.
That's great, man. Yeah, so Florida adding another tight end there. I think that you're probably done at that position for now, you know.
See, I don't think so. I don't actually think so. They're recruiting Danny Lewis, who's out of Louisiana, out of the New Iberia area, which is where Corey Raymond's from on Florida staff. William Piegler should be in to see him. Danny Lewis is actually going to take an official visit to Florida this coming up weekend. He'll be on a midweek official visit at LSU starting today on Wednesday. Should be in there into Thursday. I don't know if he leaves Thursday or Friday morning. I do know that he's not expected to arrive at Florida until probably Saturday, if not really late Friday, because he has some basketball obligations on Friday. So Piegler will see him this week. He visited Alabama last week, so that's a guy Florida's still kicking the tires on. And then you've got four-star athlete out in California, Arliss Boardingham, took an official visit to Florida that first weekend of January on the 14th, whenever they could open up official visits again. And he's another guy that's more of a – I hate doing this because it's not a Kyle Pitts type of guy, because that's a generational talent, but in that same mold of being a guy that can play in the slot, a hybrid type of tight end, could be wide receiver, could be a tight end, could be an H-back kind of guy, one of those versatile pieces. So Florida and Oregon are the final two schools for him. He'll be at Oregon this coming weekend. He said that Florida is the school recruiting him the hardest. Piegler has been out to see him so far this month. Kerry Colbert, who really handles the West Coast for Florida coming from USC, was by this past Monday. So Florida's still kicking the tires on some tight end guys out there. I feel like Danny Lewis, those connections, meaning being at LSU, going to LSU, you know, Florida will obviously get a crack to host him on a visit. We'll see what happens from there. And again, Raymond having those connections to New Iberia. I mean, there's connections there to Florida. I think the in-state LSU Tigers are going to be tough to beat, but I do think Florida has some mojo left in that Arliss Boardingham recruitment, because again, they're recruiting him the hardest. He'll have a decision, if not on signing day, shortly after he wraps up that Oregon visit this weekend, but that's so close to signing day. I mean, it could be a couple days before, if not signing day. So Florida doesn't seem to be done at tight end. That doesn't mean they land everyone on their board, but they're not done recruiting the position just because of this addition of Hansen.
Okay, and that's funny because, you know, I was looking at the scholarship chart, and you've already got five guys, and that's before you add Hansen. So, like, numbers-wise, I'm looking at them like, they're probably done. But now that you pointed out, you're right. Like, they have been still going after some guys. And I think that's going to bleed into another point that I wanted to talk to you about as far as roster turnover. I get the sense that this roster is going to turn over quicker than people think, just based on the numbers that they're recruiting right now. I think that Billy Napier and his staff have a pretty good idea already of how some of these exit interviews after spring with current players are going to go. And so having said that, Blake, let's talk about this third commitment, because this is a guy, or at least, you know, I don't want to say a guy. I don't know anything about Max Brown as far as, you know, being a commitment to Florida, anything as far as his skill set. I tend to operate more from the roster structure, and you're kind of the recruiting guy. You cover their skill sets. But I think we disagreed a little bit after they took Jack Miller on whether or not they should take a second quarterback. Where are you at on that, and how does Max Brown fit in?
Well, I think you have to consider the fact that there were rumors of Emory Jones leaving after the bowl game. Obviously, that hasn't happened. He's still in the roster.
And I would, personally, I'd assume he's gone after the spring.
And that's what I was getting to. You know, he could very well want to finish up his degree and then transfer somewhere to finish that degree at Florida, because, I mean, Florida is a great degree. I mean, to have that degree, see what happens in the spring, you know, who knows what shakes out. But where I'm at today, I would assume that Emory Jones is more than likely on the move after spring football. That opens up the door to add in another quarterback. I think that's, again, just wanting Napier to put his fingerprint on that room. I mean, quarterback is such a fickle position as far as, you know, your roster standpoint, because I mean, look at the transfer portal right now, you know, or even guys that have been in and out or have already made their decision. That's just such a position that has so much turnover. You have all these guys now, you know, even, you know, the Caleb Williams, the Josh Darts, or, you know, all those kinds of guys that are on the move now, that's just, you know, that have been in college football now. So that's just, there's such a turnover there. And, you know, you have a coaching change. You know, are they going to click, you know, some of those guys that are already on Ford's roster, are they going to click in the spring? You know, you just don't know what's going on there. And you always want to continue to add a quarterback every cycle. I think that every coaching staff has wanted to do that. And again, you know, Jack Miller from Ohio State was someone he brought in through the transfer portal, but I think it's more about just adding someone with the youth, you know, having those extra years, someone like Max Brown, who can hurt you through the air, can hurt you with his legs. He's a guy that I think tossed 41 touchdowns through the air this past season for his high school. And I believe he had another 20 on the ground. So you've got a guy that has that dual threat mold, someone that Florida has continued to had started even evaluating, you know, shortly after Napier's hire. So, you know, they continued evaluating him, brought him on the official visit this past weekend. He was formerly committed to Central Michigan under Jim McElwain. And, you know, got the offer and it was pretty much done. Once he got that offer from Florida and Napier on that Sunday of his official visit, took some time, went back home, backed off that commitment and was committed to Florida the next day. So I think it's more just understanding that that position can have some turnover. And it's just a position considering that you need to add someone every year. And again, the transfer portal does make things different, but I think it's more just adding someone with the youth and someone that you're going to have in your program a little bit longer.
And it's obviously a guy that they've evaluated quite a bit, you know, have some connections to, I'm sure they've been able to talk to Jim McElwain if they want. I don't know that McElwain right. would be, you know, super helpful in that regard. But you know, even if Emory Jones isn't there, you still have five quarterbacks. So I'm thinking there's probably right. going to be some more turnover after the spring.
Sure. Could be. That's a position that does not shock anyone just because, again, like I said, those QBs get on the move. There's only one football. Nobody wants to wait right. their turn. And, you know, that's just how it is.
And I just keep looking at the numbers and the numbers don't quite add up unless there's going to be a lot of sort of attrition after spring football. And, you know, I think you can make an argument that's a very good thing. You know, it's one of those things that I've always – you kind of know is there as far as like coaches do process guys. I mean, that's realistically, that's college football in the SEC. That's if you want to compete, you're going to have to process guys that aren't getting it done on your roster. Can lead to some awkward situations. But at the end of the day, I think that's probably what's going to happen at Florida. And look, some of these guys that, you know, maybe aren't in the plans for Billy Napier going forward, I think there can be benefit to, you know, being up front with those guys and saying, hey, you know, here's where we're at. You know, maybe you'd be best off pursuing an opportunity elsewhere. And that can work as well. Blake, I think one of the guys that Florida would not like to lose is linebacker Tyron Hopper. I was actually on the way to Charlotte for my bachelor party this weekend on Thursday. So you got stuck.
You missed the hokey pokey.
You got stuck doing the hokey pokey, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Tyron Hopper goes into the transfer portal on Thursday of last week. About 2 hours later, within about 2 hours, his name's out of the portal.
68 minutes to the T.
There you go, 68 minutes. So I don't know the full story there. I've asked a couple people. I'm still not getting a whole lot of clear answers. But Tyron Hopper went back into the portal earlier this week. Seems like, Blake, he's going to look at a couple schools. I would think, being that we're already in the spring semester, probably not a decision that he's going to go back on again at this point. There's a couple things I want to talk about here. First and foremost, I don't even know where to start with this, but I want to address it because I know that a lot of people on message boards, a lot of people on Twitter have talked about it. This is two of Florida's most productive linebackers now that are transferring. I don't know exactly how this narrative got started or if it is, you know, if there's an element of truth to it. I would imagine the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But a lot of people have wondered if Christian Robinson has been involved here as far as, I don't know, the narrative online seems to be that maybe he's pushing these guys to the portal. I tend to think that's probably not exactly true. I think, you know, if these guys are asking about transfer and you know, their future, that kind of thing, that's probably more likely. Like, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But Blake, I went and kind of defended Christian Robinson early on when Diabate entered the transfer portal. And I've kind of, you know, I don't know the truth of that. But the narrative that Christian Robinson would be actively trying to sabotage Florida, it just doesn't match up what I know of Christian Robinson from my interactions with him, from the people that I've talked to him. I know that you know him as well. I'm curious, where do you come out on all that? Right? Like, I don't even know if that's something we should be tackling. Maybe we should talk about this before the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, for me, just from the conversations I've had with him, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would sabotage, you know, having guys, you know, letting them know, hey, you know, I'm going here and there. You know, you should leave here, come with me. Florida's this, Florida's that. I that doesn't seem like something that I would understand him to do, just from the, like I said, the conversations that I have. And I mean, you know, it's not like we're best friends, you know, it's not like I know everything about him just, you know, through professional conversations, but that just doesn't really match up with my understanding of him. You know, I think even too, if you look at, you know, Diabate, entering the transfer portal, he ended up at Utah. It's, you know, he made a decision before Christian Robinson even had a job. So, you know, Hopper's in the portal again. He's on an official visit currently, I believe. At least he was there
as of yesterday,
last couple days, yeah. Or as of yesterday, to Missouri. So it's not like these guys, you know, sure, of course, Christian Robinson, you would think once Hopper's in the portal, is he going to recruit him? I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, right. You had guys like Osiris Torrance, Montrell Johnson, all those guys that entered the portal from Billy Napier's ULL squad. I mean, he recruited those guys. I mean, if you have relationships with those guys and it's something that you can use to get them, you know, to play for you now and improve your roster, I mean, you take advantage of those connections. So, you know, with Hopper, I believe his cousin that recently
Tyrone Hopper
enrolled at Missouri. So there's connections there, but you know, I think it's just one of those deals to where a lot of these players that played under Robinson, or at least were on the defensive side of the ball, you talk to anybody, they really thought of him as a player's coach. They really had a lot of respect for him, highly liked guy in the locker room, in the offices, all those other types of places. So, you know, if they end up with him, you know, if a Hopper, you know, ends up taking, you know, an official visit to Auburn and does end up there, I don't think it's because Christian Robinson is actively trying to sabotage Florida. I think it's more of those connections that he's built, a guy that he committed to, wanted to play under. I think all those things are a bigger factor to me. But, you know, even if both of these guys don't end up at Auburn with him, you know, it's still like, I have a hard time seeing that this guy is actively trying to put down Florida to get them to go to his school now. And if they don't even end up there, you know,
well, I think it goes back to what you said. I mean, he's a player's coach. Like everybody on the team loved Christian Robinson. Right. And so obviously he's got relationship with these linebackers and talks to them on a daily basis, probably about a lot of things that aren't even football related. And so if these guys do get into a situation where they're considering a transfer for whatever reason, I think it'd be crazy to expect them not to talk to their position coach, you know, who has some experience in college football and all that. Like, I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I don't think Christian Robinson is like, you know, going to the wall saying you have to stay at Florida. Like, he's not doing that, I'm sure. But I struggle a little bit with the narrative, you know, in the course of about 3 to 4 months went from Christian Robinson is our best assistant coach, you know, great recruiter. And look, I've been straightforward with people for about 2 years, 2.5, 3 years, maybe. I think the linebacker technique was terrible. And I've said that. Right. And even, you know, when Florida fans were talking about, you know, who might be retained from the previous staff, he was a guy that I said, well, I think as a recruiter, he's a guy you at least consider. But I said, in no uncertain terms, if you keep him and you're Billy Napier, I for sure would want a quality control guy sitting in his room, making sure that technique is up to snuff. So, you know, I'm not standing for Christian Robinson or anything. I just think the truth is somewhere in the middle of that narrative. And it rubbed me a little bit the wrong way how quickly it went from, you know, everybody loves Christian Robinson, he's a player's coach, to, you know, now we hate him. And like, and I get it, like that's the internet. But anyway, I wanted to say that from my end. That's kind of where I'm at. I think truth is usually in the middle. But Blake, Tyrone Hopper being gone. Oh, and the other angle to that is Jay Bateman, Florida's linebackers coach now, was at UNC, right? So Tyrone Hopper's cousin played for him and probably has some feedback for Tyrone on whether or not he liked that. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's the reason, but it's another factor that you can consider of, you know, if Tyrone Hopper's decision probably goes beyond Christian Robinson told me I should leave or something like that. That's, I don't know, that's right. All. But, like, Florida has a major need now. Ventrell Miller's back. But outside of that, I mean, I don't think there's a casual college football fan that's not a Florida fan in the country that could name another Florida linebacker. I mean, you're talking about David Reese, who's been injured, you know, pretty much his whole career. DeJuan Black's a guy that Florida fans know, but really hadn't done anything other than special teams. Derek Wingo. So
Jeremiah Williams.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got some younger guys that maybe have some talent, but Blake, this is a major need. I don't think this is any secret at this point who Florida's going after.
Yeah, absolutely. The five-star linebacker Harold Perkins backed off that commitment to A&M. He had committed to Texas A&M. I think it was whatever day the Under Armour All-American game was. I think it was January 2nd or 3rd or something like that. But he committed earlier this month to that game, was committed for a couple weeks, had been a lean to A&M for most of his recruitment. Back on the market now, and that comes after an official visit to Florida, which was that weekend of January 14th. He got out there, was able to hang around the coaching staff. They sold him on being that X factor type of guy in their defense, wanting to play him all around on the linebacker spots, playing early, you know, all those types of things that, you know, a five-star linebacker, number one linebacker in the country can expect to hear, you know, a guy that is going to step in and make an immediate impact. He'll be at LSU this coming weekend, expected to have that decision on National Signing Day. There's been some rumors of Jackson State being involved in there. I don't know. It's funny now because, you know, before, whenever someone would say Jackson State, you'd be like, yeah, get out of here. But after what they did on the early signing period, you know, when you hear that now, you kind of raise an eyebrow and you see what's going on there. I would assume A&M is still involved. Obviously, Florida's still pressing really hard. They'll have their in-home visit this week with him before he heads off to LSU for that official visit. LSU will obviously been for another another in-home as well before he gets to campus there. So it's a pretty tightly contested battle. I think that Perkins is one of those guys that, I say wild recruitment, and I don't mean it into the sense that, you know, there's going to be twists and turns because there's just not that much time left in this recruitment. There's only a week left until National Signing Day. But I think it's one of those recruitments where you're going to hear everyone's got a source. You know, I heard this, I heard that, I heard this, I heard that. And I think that's just because it's one of those kids that is so tight right now with where he's at. You know, I think that he's still trying to figure things out. He's from Louisiana originally. His uncle lives in New Orleans, so he has those ties to the state of Louisiana. He's always liked LSU. But man, I mean, like I said on the last podcast we had, Florida really had a strong official visit with him. My question was, is that impact they had on him going to be lasting?
Right.
Certainly seems that way because coming out of the visit, he backs off the A&M commitment. So it definitely seems if you're Florida, you like where you're at because you're still seeing that lasting impression. You're still seeing coaches that went out to see his uncle last week on the recruiting trail to go visit him because, again, he's very involved in the recruitment. You're having them come back this week to visit with Perkins. I was told his uncle will actually be in on that an in-home visit with Florida. So it's good to have a decision maker in there talking to those coaches at Florida. He'll have a chance to visit with, you know, position coaches. Napier hasn't used his in-home yet, if I'm correct. I haven't heard at least that he's used that. So this is a big in-home visit for Florida this week because you get that final say before signing day and before LSU gets their chance to take a shot. But, you know, Florida's certainly in this. This isn't just one of those things where you see a hat on the table and you know it's not going to be Florida being the pick. Florida could absolutely be the pick there. But I think it's close. You know, I say coin flip in that recruitment. I don't know that it's quite ready to flip that coin because I think he's going to continue to get all the information and visit LSU and see how things shake out there. But Florida's certainly in it a lot. And again, that lasting impression still seems to be, you know, in full effect for him.
I mean, you see what Billy Napier did in a short amount of time with Kamari Wilson and Shamar James. I think you have to be pretty positive. And certainly sure, they've shown the ability to close so far.
Blake, yeah, I mean, he had a great visit. He really clicked with a lot of guys.
Yeah. And that seems to be something that's happening over and over, really, from my impression, at least.
Right. Definitely is.
All right, Blake, let's take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, Florida's coaching staff, as far as the on-the-field hires, are now complete. I want to talk about the walk-on program a little bit, and then we'll take a look ahead in recruiting with weekend visits and the remaining priorities ahead of National Signing Day right after this break.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever, and this time it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Swamp 24/7 podcast. I'm Thomas Goldkamp here with Blake Alderman. Blake, when we last recorded the podcast, I think the coaching staff had unofficially been reported. Jay Bateman and Sean Spencer had been reported in the media, but had not been confirmed by Florida. They've both since been confirmed, and I know Sean Spencer's been out on the recruiting trail getting a lot of miles. So, Blake, one of the questions that we always get from fans, especially early on in coaches' tenures, is how do you kind of grade the staff, right? Like, what is your opinion of how the staff's made out? And I've got to be honest, you know, I wrote about this a little bit yesterday on swamp247.com. As a beat reporter covering the Florida Gators, I think sometimes what fans don't necessarily understand is our head is so down on focused on Florida and the Gators that we don't necessarily have sort of the big wide network of national sources that maybe, you know, national reporters may have that, you know, recruiting guys that cover regions as instead of, you know, a particular school may have. So for me, it's always been hard to sort of look at a staff on paper and say, oh, this is a great staff, or here's where the weaknesses are. Not that you can't do that, but for me, I'm kind of sort of just reading resumes in the same way that fans are. And I always think it's interesting when you get guys that have covered a region or, you know, have national contacts within multiple different programs that begin to chime in on that kind of thing. Blake, 24/7 Sports' national reporter, Brandon Marcello, went through on 24/7 Sports yesterday and graded the coaching staff hires, basically the full assistant coaching staffs for each of the 29 FBS programs that have changed head coaches this offseason. And he ranked Florida staff as an A+ and the number one staff in the country as far as the newly hired staffs. So to me, that says a lot. You know, Brandon's a guy that's been around the SEC, has a lot of roots everywhere, talks to a lot of different coaching staff. So he has a pretty good pulse of, you know, sort of what the market sees as this Billy Napier staff and how it's going to go. And you look at the accolades, you know, William Pegler was a guy that was named running backs coach of the year by Football Scoop. Jabbar Jalouk was another guy that's earned that same distinction. We all know about Corey Raymond, man. He's been around long enough that we know that's a terrific hire. I'm curious from your end, Blake, now that you've had a couple weekends on campus, you've had, you know, the chance to see some of these visits play out, hear from recruits. Are there any guys that maybe jump out to you as maybe a plus in ways you didn't expect, or just any early impressions that you have based on what you're hearing from recruits and feedback about these visits, how the staff's kind of structured and operating at this point?
Well, I think as a whole, you know, I even had guys that are, you know, 2023 guys, or guys like a Shamar James, who took a second official visit this past weekend since he could do it due to a coaching change. You're able to take a second OV.
Right.
You've seen guys, 2023 guys that visited last weekend, you know, prior commits, guys that had interactions with Dan Mullen and his staff. One of the big questions I ask him, how are the differences between the old staff to the new staff? And you just hear more of a family atmosphere, more organization. You have more interaction with entire coaches. You know, I had a guy that said that he talked to every single coach there, not just my position coach. That was something that really stood out to him. You're not having to where you're leaning on the recruiting guys, which, yes, they are involved, but it's not just, you know, a couple of recruiting guys or recruiting guys showing a guy around campus, taking some pictures, and then taking him up to the position coach and head coach for an exit meeting. You're spending a lot of quality time around a lot of coaches, you know, so I think that's one of the biggest things that's different from an official visit overall, because a lot of the things they do are the same things. You know, you go to Dave and Buster's on a Friday night, you eat at Spurrier's on a Friday night, you have tours all day on Saturday, seeing academic things, facilities, all that kind of stuff. You go visit the swamp, you take pictures, you know, all those things aren't different. That's right. What an official visit does. There's no drastic change there, but it's just more of the interaction, I think, is the bigger difference. You're seeing that coaches are putting more emphasis on, you know, being around these guys, hyping them up, you know. Even now Florida does these personalized visit or videos of guys that are on campus, since that's a new rule that you're allowed to do those things, make personalized videos. A 2023 guy, five-star AJ Harris, was on campus this past Saturday at Florida. And I mean, him on his Instagram Live, you've got Katie Turner in the recruiting office, you know, taking an Instagram Live of him, hyping him up. You turn around, you see the entire coaching staff behind him hyping up. Those are differences, major differences to me, that really make lasting impressions, and why a guy like AJ Harris, who entered, you know, that Florida visit, not really even mentioning Florida at all, to now, you know, seemingly a contender for him going forward. So I think that's one of the bigger differences. What were some of the other points that you had on there? Sorry.
No, I think that's exactly kind of what I was looking for, because, you know, like I said, for me, I'm looking at it from, you know, the how are they coaching their position is a big part of it for me, because like when people right. want to know,
and you
know,
that's something we'll see.
Right. And that, but that's going to take probably 2 years for me minimum to right. start to figure that out. But from a recruiting standpoint, you can learn a lot of that very early on. And I think right. when you hear sort of everybody's involved, right, that really is what Billy Napier kind of preached when he came in. And it's funny, go ahead.
I think I know that one of the things you asked me was, is this a surprise on the staff? Sure. You know, obviously everyone knows Corey Raymond is a big time recruiter. He lands a lot of guys. You know, William Pegler, maybe he didn't do it at the national level. I mean, Michigan State, they land some kids, but it's not a Florida, you know, it's not an SEC school like that. But he came in with the tab of being a strong recruiter. Sean Spencer, if you look at his all-time recruiting list, you know, he did a lot of big-time guys at Penn State when he was there. Those are guys that are more established names, I guess is what I'm getting to. So I think one of the biggest surprises to me from as far as seeing, you know, the staff shake out has been Patrick Toney. And I say that just because coming from ULL, some other smaller schools, you just don't have an understanding of, you know, is this going to work out? Is he going to be a guy that's, yes, he's a great coach, but an iffy recruiter? And I think that he's spoken highly enough of as a coach, as an X's and O's guy. Anyone that has been around him or has talked to him or covered him, you know, you speak highly of him being one of those up and coming, you know, younger type of coaches. But man, I think he's recruited great. You know, look at what he did with Kamari Wilson, flipping things there. Guys up till 2-3 a.m. playing PlayStation with Shamar James before the early signing.
I was going to say, you jumped on some Warzone with him, didn't you?
Yeah, I wish I did. I'm jealous. I need Shamar to pass the sticks. But you see a guy like that that's recruiting at such a high level, even landing, you know, three-star guys, Miguel Mitchell, Andrew, don't make me say his last name, from out in Washington.
I know you're talking about.
That was out there, had just landed his commitment this past week. And these are a lot of guys that Tony has either evaluated, has recruited personally. So I think that's been one of the biggest surprises to me. And I think it's good to see a defensive coordinator, because in my time of covering Florida, I've seen some great X's and O's coaches. You know, Todd Grantham, it didn't finish well. I think earlier on in his career, you saw the defense playing a little bit better. DJ Durkin was a guy that I thought was a really good defensive coordinator during his time there, at least a position coach. But you haven't seen the total package, at least from my understanding and my covering of Florida recruiting since I've been doing this, is you have guys that are good coaches. If you had to pick, is he a recruiter or is he a coach? You go with a coach. He's more of a strong coach, X and O's guys. But I feel like Patrick Toney, if he builds up to the, you know, the billing he has at being one of those up and coming younger coaches that's really good and, you know, on the board at scheming and game planning, and he continues to recruit at the level he has, I think you've got a guy that, since I've been covering Florida, the first time that I've seen a defensive coordinator that has been so active on both facets, a guy that's going to be obviously very involved in the game planning, being a co-defensive coordinator, but a guy that's also going to get after it on the recruiting trail. I mean, this guy is literally every day seeing a kid. He's with Napier on all these visits. And again, it's recruiting time. That's whenever, that's the busy season to do that. But you just see a guy that is just literally relentless at recruiting. And I think that that's really has been a surprise to me, just because I wasn't sure what to expect coming right in from him, coming from some of these smaller schools. So that's been the biggest surprise to me so far on the staff.
Well, and I was going to say, I think that goes back to sort of what Billy Napier has been preaching since he arrived, is they build the infrastructure such that no coach kind of goes through burnout, right? And that's the problem, is if you don't have that infrastructure, dude, recruiting is exhausting, right? And I think when you build the staff behind those guys that are, like you said, everybody's involved on these visits, right? It's not like just one coach and then his one director of player personnel that's assigned to him that are working these prospects. You have an entire army of people that are kind of doing that. And I sort of think that's Billy Napier's approach kind of across the program. I mean, you look at the walk-on program that he's talking about building, where he wants to have 50 walk-ons. That's way more than most programs carry. You probably carry, I don't know, 20 to 35 maybe. So 50 guys, that's a lot of guys. And I think you're already seeing Florida take some preferred walk-ons. They took a linebacker at a Riverside High School in Jacksonville, Bryce Capers, a guy that's a three-star prospect, had other offers, could have gone elsewhere, but wants to stay in the state and, you know, had some military benefits he could take advantage of. All of a sudden, now you got a pretty talented guy that also loves Florida coming in. I think as you build that out, what happens is you're creating connections everywhere. And those connections may not pay off immediately, but they can pay off in the long run. And I think you see that both with the staff hires that they're making, as far as quality control guys that have ties to different areas in Orlando and in Jacksonville and all these places. Not only can they help you with what you're doing on the field and you know, giving those assistant coaches more time to really focus on just the few things that they need to do, but you build connections to different high schools and everything. And I think, Blake, that's going to be one of the biggest advantages of this walk-on program, is you're going to have connections everywhere, right? Like you're building innate connections and pipelines to some of these schools. And people may not think that, you know, a preferred walk-on can have an impact on a 4 or 5-star guy. But the reality is, when you're playing in high school, man, you have teammates. And if they go and play in college, and, you know, you've got a guy that's a walk-on at Florida that maybe was a year ahead of you and you guys vibed in high school, that, you know, you get on campus, that's an easy guy that you can connect with. And I think all those things are going to pay off. Like with Bryce Capers, you know, he played at Trinity Christian Academy over in Jacksonville with Austin Barber. And as soon as he commits, you see Austin Barber go, man, teammates once again. I think all of those things are going to help play into that sort of big picture with Billy Napier that we're talking about, where you sort of, if you do all the work, then the work starts to do itself in a certain sense. And I think we're starting to see that already with Florida. And I've got to say, that's a very positive change from the previous staff, in my opinion.
Definitely is. That's a good point.
All right, Blake, let's quickly wrap it up here. What do we need to be looking for in recruiting over the next, what do we got, a week and a half or so until National Signing Day? Just quick bullet points. What do we got?
You know, Florida's going to have some official visitors on campus this weekend. It's the last official visit weekend for Florida. I've got the list already on the site, Swamp 24/7, with, you know, guys expected in. Today, starting on Wednesday and into Thursday, Florida will be hosting 4-star running back Trevante Citizen on an unofficial visit. He'll be at Miami this weekend for an OV. He's recently taken visits to LSU and Auburn. I think that the two Tigers, you know, the LSU Tigers and the Auburn Tigers, are probably in a better spot for him at this point. This will be his first visit to Florida. We'll see if anything shakes out there. So he'll be on campus this weekend. I've got tons of stories already up on the site of where the coaches are at today, where they've been at, and I'll have more of where they're going to be at for the, you know, the coming days coming up before that official visit weekend. Quiet period is what they call it on the recruiting trail, which means a recruit can visit someone at the school, or they can still be on school if you're on an official visit or something. If you're there Saturday into Sunday, it's not like they're going to kick you out, like, get out, you don't need to be here. So you can be there on Sunday. That'll be what they call the quiet period, which means you can have kids on campus, but coaches will not be on the road that Sunday. Following Monday, the dead period kicks in, which means no visits, whether it's, you know, an in-home, whether it's, you know, on the school, on the campus, no visits. National Signing Day, February 2nd. So next Wednesday, you know, a week away from signing day. So we're hitting that final countdown. Florida, I believe, has 15 verbal commits right now from the high school ranks, have added some transfers. So spots are starting to get a little on the tighter side there. We'll see how attrition, obviously, that can change. You know, numbers, I always say, eventually they work themselves out eventually. Yep. But, you know, we're hitting crunch time for this last week until signing day.
All right, guys, well, you have it there. Blake, we'll keep you updated on swamp247.com. So if you're interested in getting into recruiting, kind of liking the vibe under Billy Napier, be sure to check us out on swamp247.com. We've run a little bit long today on the show, so that'll wrap it up for today. We look forward to hearing from you guys. Let us know thoughts, comments on the show today. Drop them in the comments section. Leave us a favorable review. Hit like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. We appreciate all the support, guys. That'll do it for today's episode of the Swamp 24/7 podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.